Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome back to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. And, sad as it is, we're now almost halfway through this first section of Season 3. But fear not, things only get juicier from here. Last week we saw Sun and Jin rock the boat in their episode, The Glass Ballerina. This week we'll discover the fates of Locke, Echo, and Desmond after the hatch imploded last season. Further instructions airs Wednesday, October 18th from 9 to 10 p.m. And of course, what would a Lost podcast be without executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse? We'll be checking in with those two later. First up, the enigmatic Terry O'Quinn. Last season, the big mystery was the hatch, and what happened if no one pressed the button, which made the moment when Locke smashed the computer strangely satisfying for the briefest of seconds. At least the question would finally be answered. And, as we found out, smashing the computer was also one of the highlights of the season for actor Terry O'Quinn.
Smashing that damn computer. That was the most fun thing. Not pushing the button. I think Locke was pretty frustrated last year. You know, people have asked me about how I compared season one and season two. I don't know if you were going to or not, but season two seemed to me to be one long episode about dealing with the button. And is this now my destiny? This character is saying, like, I was seeking my destiny, and it was in this hatch, and it was all very romantic, and I went down there, and I found it, and, like, oh. It's kind of like when I was young, and I remember I was a young Catholic boy, and they were talking about, and I thought, well, if I go to heaven, are there going to be a lot of nuns that are going, like, kneel down, say your prayers, like, you know? So I said, I don't know. Heaven, I'm not sure about. Kind of had the same reaction to the hatch.
It's real! It's all bloody real! Now push the damn button!
I know what I saw! It's a lie. It's not real. None of it is real.
You don't want to push the button? Then I will.
No.
Nuns are cool, by the way. I don't know. I was young and, you know, I was, it was harsh, my family. I like them.
Of course, playing Locke's crisis of faith wasn't all fun and games.
Was challenging because he had made such a commitment to it. You know, he had convinced everybody else that this was it. This was it. This was what we had to do, and this was the answer. And then all of a sudden he went to and found something else that he thought exposed it as fake and that crushed his dreams. And after being the salesman for the hatch, you know, he was kind of like, nope, guess what? Well, I'm just kidding. No, I've changed my mind. Or I was wrong, which I think could be written on Locke's tombstone. John Locke, I was wrong. Maybe there'll be some evidence to the contrary this season.
On a personal note, I went to Catholic high school, and I can tell you, nuns get a bad rap. I mean, look at me, I'm perfectly normal. Although I do work in television. But so do executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, who are obviously normal. We now turn it over to them.
Hello, Damon.
Hi, Carlton.
Welcome to another podcast.
Are you talking to me, or?
No, I'm talking to the podcast listeners. Oh, hello, okay. Listeners.
Hi, podcast listeners. Shouldn't you be working?
No, clearly not.
I wonder how many people listen to this podcast at work, because I really hope they're not listening to it when they're not at work, when they could be
actually
doing
something, you know, constructive.
Something constructive or spending time with friends or watching television.
If I was, you know, working in a job where I could listen to it at work, I would listen to it at work.
Do you listen to any podcasts other than ours?
No. Do you?
I don't listen to ours, certainly. I watched our video podcast and it made me sick.
You know,
but in all
the
right
ways. Overreacting.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad.
No man should ever have to look at himself. That's what I believe.
Okay.
That's where I come from. All right. Well, anyway, hi. Why don't we start with a rehash of The Glass Ballerina,
excellent.
Which a lot of people don't know was Carlton's nickname in third grade.
It was fifth grade.
It was, I'm sorry, which is another story entirely. But this is Son and Jin's story. And there was an interesting revelation in this episode, Carlton, and that we see that the question that was being asked last year, for those of you who say we never answer any questions, lo and behold, Son, sure enough, was having an affair with this young man, Jay Lee.
But in reality, we really didn't answer any questions because we still have the big question looming there, which is, whose baby is it?
Well, yeah, that is a big question, but what's cool is Son might not know the answer to that question. And
exactly.
And this is a cool thing to talk about on a podcast because we kind of...
Pregnancy?
Pregnancy. Well, it's Carlton, okay. There's something you should know. We knew that, you know, when we shot Son and Jin's last flashback story in season two, that, yes, Son was going to consummate this affair with Jay Lee, and we had a conversation with Yunjin about it. She asked us, and she said she'd like to play it as if they had, and we said, you wouldn't be playing it wrong. And it's very cool to sort of now go back and look at that episode knowing, you know, what she did do and watching her performance and really sort of appreciating the nuance of it. I think, again, last week, both her and Daniel were just extraordinary.
Yeah.
And big props to them.
They're so good. They're so good. So, yeah, so, you know, obviously that's very much in play this season, and we'll get back to this story and we will find out whose
baby it
is.
Are you inferring that Son is going to find out whose baby it is?
Yes, I am.
How is she going to do that?
Well, you know, that's a good story, isn't it?
How do you take a paternity test on the island? It's interesting.
Very interesting. You're taking one right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll see you in episode 19, somewhere around about.
So... let's talk about the implications of what happened on the boat.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Son shot somebody. Big episode for Son all the way around.
Yeah, she shot this woman whose name appears to be Colleen or something like that. Is that whatever they call her in the beginning? We'll find out more about her later. But yes, this sort of rather severe blonde woman.
Who issued a rather stern warning before that, too, didn't she?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but before she left to get the boat, she actually kind of got a kiss on the cheek from that guy who's been beating on Sawyer.
Yeah.
So what's going on
Danny
there?
Danny Pickett. I think they were an item.
So he's probably not going to be very happy about her getting shot.
No.
So she's dead, though, right?
I don't know. We don't know what happened. She got shot. I mean,
I guess we'll have
do you think she's dead?
I guess I'll have to watch the show this week.
Yeah, we'll find out what happens.
I normally watch Criminal Minds, but this week...
this week you might watch Lost?
I will.
Awesome. That's great.
More importantly, though, because that's very important stuff, but Sawyer totally laid it on Kate. He made a big kiss on her, and lo and behold, afterwards, it sort of seemed like he was just doing it so he could ascertain certain information about his guards, but I think that he was just trying to get some. That's my theory.
I think that's a good
correct
theory.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
All right.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I think things are looking good for Kate and Sawyer. I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say that wasn't there a promise made that we would find out whether Kate was going to hook up with Sawyer or Kate or Jack?
I don't know
or
about
herself.
I don't know about promises, Carlton. But if you're a betting man, I will bet you $5 that she chooses Jack.
Okay.
Put her there.
You're on.
All right.
My
money's on Jack.
Okay. My money is on...
Speaking of Jack...
Kate having an affair with herself. What?
That's interesting. I mean, speaking of... she could just choose them both. Like, that's what they did on Grey's Anatomy.
And then what happens? Do we each get $250?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yes, exactly. You lose $250 and I win $250. So, speaking of Jack, there was a bit of an interesting scene at the end of last week's episode in which Ben... who introduces himself as Benjamin Linus, I guess
right.
He says. He says he's lived on the island all his life, which is interesting if you believe him.
I mean, we would consider that fairly revelatory for those of you who feel like we never give you answers.
But correct me if I'm wrong again, Carlton, but the Dharma Initiative we know came to the island in around 1980, if we look at their orientation film. So
right.
He seems like he's a little bit older than that. So if he's been on the island all his life, then...
It might imply that there were other people on the island before the Dharma Initiative.
Interesting.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
Well, I mean, we know that there were people who crashed there in Rousseau's party. We know that there were, although they were sort of kind of simultaneous with the Dharma Initiative. And then there was also, of course, the people who crashed in the Black Rock.
Wow, yeah.
The people that made that crazy statue with four toes.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
So, you know,
it boggles the mind.
There could be all sorts of people that have been on this island over long periods of time.
It's interesting.
What does that do to everybody's theories about the island, Damon?
I think it's time to go back and reevaluate your theories, as you always do on Lost. Or you could just eat a sandwich, whichever is more interesting to you.
Exactly.
But we, and also in this scene, Ben shows Jack this videotape of the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series, which is a gag that has been running over the course of three seasons now. Some of our favorite scenes on the show focus on Jack's incredulity that the Red Sox will ever win the World Series, which we thought was great because right when we did the pilot of the show, which we shot in like February of 2004, the Red Sox won the World Series in October of 2004, and we were already shooting probably the fourth or fifth episode of season one at that point. But obviously no one on the island knew that it had happened, so we built this great sort of emotional thing between Jack and his dad about the likelihood of the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series, and of course nobody on the island knowing that they had. And the payoff now finally comes here in our calendar year, 2000. Where are we? In 2006 now?
2006 now.
Yeah,
yes,
it's very exciting. So, but for them, as Ben reminds Jack, it's only around Thanksgiving of 2004 still, so they've got this videotape, and that opens up all sorts of doors. Like, how do the others get this broadcast?
And then, of course, it really opens up the doors for the shattering revelation that Jack Shepherd is actually an ice hockey fan.
That is shattering.
But I'm a Red Sox fan, so this is the greatest thing ever that we have the Red Sox at the end of this episode. That's a great scene. I mean, both Matthew Fox and Michael Emerson are just incredibly good in that scene. I think it's one of my favorite scenes we've ever done.
Excellent.
Well, good.
Excuse me, I was burping.
obviously, it moved you deeply.
Moved something in my esophagus, that's for sure. It's time for our prehash of further instructions. Carlton, I do have one criticism of the show so far this year.
Yeah.
And that criticism is we've now spent 2 weeks with these new characters that we don't know much about and all this others business. What happened to Desmond and Echo and Locke, you know, following the turning of the failsafe key? I mean, come on.
Damon, that's a really good question. And I think that it's a well-timed question because this episode will finally give you the answers to those questions.
So, but you're just going to do a thing where it's like, oh, they're all okay. And, you know, we're not going to explain to you what happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, I just don't want to get my expectations
kind of
up.
We kind of broke the story along the path of least resistance axis.
Interesting. So whose flashback story is this?
This would be Locke's flashback story.
Oh, good. So you're going to tell us how he got in that wheelchair then?
No.
No?
No, no, no.
Oh,
no.
Great. Fantastic.
Not this week.
Wonderful.
But we do see a return of Locke as the man of the jungle, which I think is something the audience will be very happy to see.
Wasn't that your nickname in sixth grade, man of the jungle? Was after your ballerina phase?
I turned a corner. I turned a demonstrable corner between fifth and sixth grade, and man of the jungle kind of remains my nickname to this
day. Yeah, that's more indicative of the man that I met. the glass ballerina. I've seen photographs, but it's hard to believe that was you in that tutu, and you're so fragile.
Yeah.
And beautiful,
really. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right.
That. So it's going to be a good episode.
Before we get carried away, it's time for fan questions.
Okay. Can I go first?
I wish you would.
This question is under the heading, Shannon, will we see more of her? Posted by Pam Stein 4, who's posted four times in the last 90 days. I love your podcast, by the way. Damon, you are so super cute.
Carlton, just read the question. I don't need your editorializing.
Why should I read the question since you wrote it?
Oh, that's good.
I too am from the Great Garden State.
Okay. That would be New Jersey. Thank you, Pam Stein, for
that's awesome. Anyway, one of the things that really did frustrate me about the show was when you killed both Boone and Shannon. Actually, it says when you killed of both Boone and Shannon.
I think that's a typo.
Okay. I won't chalk it up to a
highly disturbed
New Jersey
already,
educational experience that was less than stellar.
Zowie.
Anyone else who died can be seen possibly in other Castaways flashbacks, i.e. Libby and Christian. There is a rumor that Ian Somerhalder will be in the next Locke-centric episode. Are we ever going to see more of Shannon? She was so one-dimensional through most of the first season. but you killed her once she got interesting. I mean, so does she like her or not? It's like one-dimensional. So anyway, killing her killing her kills off more chances to see Boone. Wow.
Wow, that is... I'm not really sure what the question is in there.
Well, first of all, can you confirm that we'll be seeing Ian Somerhalder on the show?
And, well, if it's a Locke-centric flashback story, which we've already determined is that's this week's episode, I guess you won't have to wait long to find out. But that'd be exciting to see Boone again.
Yeah, it would be. Are we going to ever see more of Shannon?
We will probably be seeing more of Shannon, yes, in flashbacks, you know, again, until the zombie season rolls around.
Yeah, then she can be right back on the island.
Yeah.
It'll be
then
awesome.
You think one dimension is bad. Wait until you see the zombie dimension.
Which zombie dimension makes one dimension look like a frickin' Bergman film.
Which brings me to my question, Carlton, which is subject heading, Raise the Dead by Banana Lucia.
Awesome.
One post in the last 90 days. What up? I got a twofer for you. Can we expect any of the dead Losties or others to come back to life through the magic of the island or through the technology of the others?
You know, we kind of, with the proviso that we will be doing the zombie season, have made a commitment to not bring back dead characters as dead characters. So, like, if you're dead on the island and lost, you're pretty much dead.
Unless it's in a flashback.
Unless it's in a flashback.
Like Ethan, who, like, died in episode, you know, 11 of season 1 and yet has made 5 guest appearances since.
Or Christian Shepherd. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, my God, he was
dead
before the show started. And he's had, you know, more screen time than some of our regulars.
Excellent. So the part 2 now is obviously when a plane crashes, people look for it and the survivors. Any insight as to the progress of the people searching for the missing plane in the real world? How's that going?
Not well. I mean, it's now 2006, and, well, has anybody found the plane? I mean,
well, it's not 2006 for them.
It's 2004 for them.
So they've only been looking for 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, or have they?
Or have they?
Wait.
We don't really know what time it is in the outside world, do we?
Well, Ben told us that it's November of 2004,
2004.
But okay. I wouldn't trust those others if I were you, Banana Lucia.
but they haven't found the plane. Damon.
Yes.
This is from a lost gangster from Bushama.
This is going to be a good
38 one. Posts in the last 90 days.
Wow.
Will we see a gangsta on the island?
All right.
Someone like Eazy-E who can rap and who is black and who is from Compton, California.
Interesting.
I think that would bring great diversity to the show.
It sure would. I think first off, Eazy-E is, as we call in the casting trade, technically unavailable, as he is dead. So until season 7, the aforementioned zombie season, Eazy will not be making any appearances. But
we cast an Eazy-E lookalike?
I guess we could.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of a rapper on Lost, and maybe the others have a sort of resident rapper. You know, Ben, like, he lives next door to Ben, and he has turntables, and Ben comes out and says, "Keep it down in there, or I'll kidnap your children," or something like that.
That's awesome.
You like that idea?
I do. I think we should immediately go
someone write that down.
And break that story.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Carlton, I have a question for you. Jack's Tattoo and Flame Station by Am I Lost? 3 posts in the last 90 days. Carlton, I always thought that the tattoo on the underside of the left forearm of Jack is a flame with sparkles. And if so, then does this relate to the flame station on the doormat? And sparkles was actually Carlton's nickname in college. A brief period away from Man in the Jungle.
You know, I actually don't think all these biographical details are of general interest to the podcast listeners.
I beg to differ, but we'll let them respond next week. You can vote for Carlton's your favorite nickname. Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, the question is, Jack's tattoo, seriously, are we going to ever find out what it's all about?
Well, sweet pea, let me tell you.
Wow, I like that nickname.
I will say, my loss, that there's you're very sort of perceptive in your question here. I think we will learn a lot more about both Jack's tattoos and the flame station in upcoming episodes. Those are, as to whether they're linked, you'll have to just watch and stay tuned.
Are you saying that we're going to find the flame station at some point in season 3?
I think that'd be a pretty fair assessment.
And people say we don't give anything away in this podcast.
You will find, we will find the Flame Station, season 3.
That's Lost. Phenomenal.
Damon?
Yeah?
I shall keep this short and sweet, as my question is a twofer.
I think I just asked you that one.
No, but, it's not. All right. This is a separate twofer.
Okay.
From Spamalot.
Great.
This person has posted 93 times.
Wow.
Okay. 222. Spamalot 222.
Thank you, Spamalot.
Benry and the others keep referring to some dreaded him. Is Benry him now, or is there someone still higher up on the chain of command? That's number one.
I like that. I like the Benry thing. That's very clever. It's sort of like a, you know, like a J-Lo, you know, like a Bennifer and Brad Bradgelina.
Well, what's cool is the PS on this is I am neither a Jader nor a Skater. I am a Damon / Carlton shipper, a Damelton. Damelton. Damelton? How about Carl Dam? That's better, I think.
I like that. I went to Carl Dam once and was bored. The answer to that question is, we're certainly assuming that when Ben, back when he was Henry, says, you know, the man in charge on the other side of the island is a great man, but he's not a forgiving man, that he's talking about himself when you later realize he seems to be the ones calling the shots. But, you know, I don't know. There's a, you know, you don't always see what you get on the show. So
that's right.
But I think you're, you know,
you're not,
I think
it's words, a very you're not fair, closing that door.
Yeah, I'm not going to close it.
Okay. Leave it open.
A crack. Yeah.
Awesome.
As we of the Jewish faith say, we'll leave it open for Elijah.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Did you ever see that? Remember that horror movie, Elijah?
Yes, it was a short film.
That was fantastic. Damon, part two.
Yes.
Kelvin and Desmond both asked their new hatchmates, are you him? Are we ever going to find out why and who this him is and why he never showed up? Thanks.
Well, I think the short answer is him is their alleged replacement, right, that Candle refers to in the orientation film. And quite honestly, I think it's fairly sexist that they assume that their replacement would be a guy. But, you know, I don't know if they're referring to someone specific or anything else, but he might just have gotten lost along the way or stopped to tie his shoe and gotten eaten by a polar bear or something like that.
Or the Dharma initiative might have been over and there might not have been any more replacements to send. And he was sitting down there waiting for replacements, and yet, you know, the Dharma initiative might have gone chapter 11.
That is a much better theory than my chew-tying polar bear eating theory, so I'll go with that. And I have one more question for you, Carlton. Please give Charlie and Claire a good story, this line, by LKBACB. I couldn't even begin to try to pronounce that, so... Charlie and Claire were both relegated to background characters last season, and we diehard CC fans were frustrated a lot. Those are your initials, too, by the way, CC.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dominic Monaghan.
I'm a CC fan. Yeah, exactly. Could we please have a solid story and more screen time for them? What's going on with Charlie and Claire? Well, they kissed? What's going to happen?
They kissed, and there sort of is a budding romance, but, you know, that's a good question, and I think there's some interesting twists and turns coming up in that romantic relationship. I think it might be fair to say that that might go from a romantic relationship to a famous Lost triangle. Would that be possible, Damon?
But there's three sides to a triangle, and if Charlie's one and Claire's one, who's the third side? Who would that be?
That's a good question.
I'm intrigued.
If we ever get back to the frickin' beach, we could find out.
Well, what's going to happen this week?
That's good.
And further instructions.
All right.
See how we tie that up?
Maybe there'll be some nice clues there.
I hope so.
To answer that question.
Not some Ms. clues, but some actual nice clues. Because she's mean and scary.
Yes, she is indeed.
All righty, well.
Well, thank you very much. We've enjoyed it. I hope you have.
It's better than counting sheep if you want to go to bed at night to listen to this podcast. It's very exciting.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
That about wraps up this podcast. Remember, submit your own fan questions at abc.com, where you can also stream last week's episode. Further instructions airs Wednesday, October 18th from 9 to 10 p.m., only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.